How's it going, everyone? You're listening to Free Kick, the AFLW Fantasy Podcast. We're getting towards the pointy end as we're going through our clubs in reverse ladder order. And here with Liam today, I'm ready to chat about Brisbane. Liam, how are you going?
I'm pretty good. I'm coming off a bulk day yesterday of watching some practice matches, but it does mean that the season is starting to feel real. And it's always nice to talk about a team like Brisbane who have just been fantasy relevant for so long and have just been relevant in the competition for so long. Every year that we've done this, they always throw up high scorers. They always finish up the top end of the ladder. They always have dominant games where they blow to other teams out in fantasy points. Just a great team to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. We know that Brisbane did well last season, but why don't you run us through a little bit about what their 2024 looks like?
Look, to be honest, it felt like they were in second or third gear for most of the season. I'd say the biggest difference that they had from seasons past was Taylor Smith really broke out as a player, really became their leading goal kicker and kind of supplemented the fact that to go to Davidson wasn't quite the same option. Now, they did manage to make it to the grand final again. They only lost two games for the entire regular season. They didn't, however, feature many new players. It was really only Eleanor Hartle was the player that came in and played much new game time for them. They were consistently a disposal dominant team. They're a, you know, relatively middle of the pack team when it comes to kick percentage. So they do like to gain the ball by hand as well. They also are a top side for inside 50s. For meters gained, they're the best in the competition. This is a fairly consistent Brisbane statistical profile. They really do build year on year to make something that I think that the modern AFLW team is consistently looking to emulate.
Yeah, and we can see Brisbane doing this for a while to come. You mentioned they've been relevant for fantasy and footy-wise for the last few years, but given that they've got the second most experience in their club and they're middle of the pack for age, like they've got a lot of really experienced young players that have been playing together for a long time. And that's a recipe for success now and for future years. So can't wait to keep talking more about Brisbane.
100%.
To give us a bit of an insight into the coming season, Will sat down with Taylor Smith earlier this preseason. Let's have a listen now.
G'day everyone. We are super lucky to have one of the Lions' absolute best with us today. She's got two premiership medals, an All-Australian blazer, and a league-leading goal kicker award. We're joined by Taylor Smith today. Taylor, how are you going?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I am really, really well. Very excited to chat all things Brisbane Lions with you. Just started the preseason. Craig Starcevich came out during the week and said that he was really excited with how the preseason was going. Can you give us a little bit of an insight into the 2025 Lions preseason?
Well, I think for us, preseason was always a challenging time. We love it. Like, we absolutely thrive off hard work. So I think that's probably all I can really give is that we're working hard. And we're really excited for in 3 weeks' time to really have a crack and even looking forward to having some opposition in the next 2 weeks. It's all fun and games playing on each other, but it's even better when you're playing against an opposition who aren't your teammates.
Obviously, unfortunately, didn't quite get the job done last year, falling to the Roos in the grand final, but your success has still been really, really good. As I said, you're a two-time premiership player yourself. Could you give us a little bit of insight into your AFLW journey? Because I understand you're a bit of a latecomer to playing AFL.
Yeah, I was sort of finishing high school, and the year before, or just maybe at the start of that year, I was still in track and field and I was doing heptathlons at a national level. And I got injured and had a bit of a long-term injury. And I remember saying I was volunteering at a international athletics carnival. And I said, oh, if I could do anything else, I'd love to give AFL a go one day, thinking that it never happened. And didn't even know at that point, like it would have been coming into the first ever season of AFLW. Yeah. So I actually didn't even know it existed. And then I was just playing like a silly school game. We used to play like other schools in our area on like a field the size of a 50. Like it was super tiny. Like just, they would put four fields on one field. And there was a scout down there, and that was sort of how I got into it. They asked me to come down and trial for the Gold Coast Sunsets, which was the under 17 state cup. And the Gold Coast Sunsets was the team that was in my area. So I went down as a rookie, gave it a go, and I absolutely loved it and never looked back. And at the end of that year, found myself at the Suns Academy, then into Queensland, and then I did that all over again as an overager. So by the time I'd been playing footy for 18 months, I was priority signed by the Gold Coast Suns in their inaugural team. And then from there, I was told I was being delisted after the first year during COVID, and was very, very lucky to be picked up by the Lions in a trade about 20 minutes before the trade period closed. So it was a whirlwind experience. Like I was at work and I'm getting phone calls and I'm like, I worked in retail at the time, and I was like, I actually have to take this, sorry. And would run out the back and take phone calls. And then my manager rocked up at work with my contract, and like I had to get it signed before this certain amount of time, and it was literally the wildest day.
Wow, absolutely hectic. And it worked out pretty well because I believe you got a flag in your first year at the Lions as well. Was that correct?
Yeah, it was like pretty crazy, and I think that flag means more to me now than it probably maybe did then, because I was so new to the sport and so new to the competition, and now I have a few more years under my belt. I understand the importance of what we did back then, and how like amazing it was what we did in 2021. So, and now I have lost my father since then, but he was there at the 2021 grand final, and I got to enjoy that experience. So it then again means more to me.
Yeah, absolutely beautiful. And but yeah, you've joined the Lions, who have really been, a very strong team over the last few seasons, and they've also been a breeding ground for exceptional key forward talent. It seems started with Taylor Harris back in the day, Jesse Wardlaw, and now yourself and Dakota Davidson. I guess the first question is there something in the water up in Queensland that really helps developing the key forwards?
I don't even know how that happens. I mean, I think you just credit Craig and the Lions as a whole. Like, you don't become a good key forward without, or you can't be a good key forward without good midfielders and good defenders. Otherwise, you don't get a look at the ball, or you don't get nice entries. So I think as a forward, a lot of our success is actually team success, and it comes from the exceptional talent that we have, and the hard work that we have in every line across the ground. And I think we've just been, pretty lucky to have some, really consistent key tools.
Yeah, for sure. And you sort of hit the nail on the head there, because I think one of the most exciting things about the Lions in terms of the list is it's really set up for long-term success. You've got the second most experienced list in terms of games played, but in terms of actual average age, you're sort of a middle-of-the-road team. So there's basically just lots of young players who have played a lot of footy together, which must give you a lot of confidence, I guess, going into every new season, given you're playing with players that you've played a lot of footy with.
100%, like you can't discredit that. Like that is also just fun. We know each other really well, and I think that's in any environment. Like if you worked in a 9-to-5 office job and you worked with the same people, like you would learn what makes them tick and the things that they don't like, and that just irons out things that don't need to be there. So playing consistent footy with the same people is good, and we've had small changes, refreshing changes over the years as well, of course, and that always keeps things exciting.
Yeah, for sure. And in terms of like the mainstays, I guess the skipper Brianna Conan's been one of the main players. I think firstly, she's due to play game 100, which is an exceptional milestone this year. Has there been any talk about celebrating that?
Then we've been talking about Ali Anderson, because she's the first
Ah, of
one
course.
to hit
Yes.
100, so we always chuckle about that. But yeah, Bri Conan is definitely just the blood and sweat and tears of the Brisbane Lions. I can't say a bad word about her. She's just, I lived with her last year, and it was really nice to see a different side of her off the field. But she's an incredible human being and an exceptional leader.
Yeah, and I start with Bri Conan because I want to ask the question of she played a bit around the midfield the last few seasons, but seems to be settling into the back line. Is that something that seems to be likely to go forward, being more in that regular back line spot?
Oh, you never know what Craig's thinking.
That seems to be true because there's been a few other mid defenders swapping around. Jade Allinger playing a bit off half back, and Poppy Bolts is a player that I'm keen to ask you about as well because she sort of had a quite a good breakout season playing defense, but has also been slated for a bit of midfield time. How's she been tracking this preseason?
She's just such an athletic human being. So anything she does on the field is usually pretty good, and she's so competitive. So I think whatever line you play her in, she's going to be a competitive beast.
Yeah, for sure. And to the other 100 gamer who I very absentmindedly missed the first time, Ali Anderson. I mean, it must be such a pleasure playing with a player of her quality. Went under the radar a little bit across her first sort of half of her career, but is really getting the plaudits now. And just an exceptional player and athlete, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I think that just comes back to that piece of she's now played with us for many years, so her confidence gets to grow. She knows us, we know her, and she, is a louder voice and has more experience as well, and the competition has grown, and she's done such a good job to grow with it, where I know there's a lot of players across the league who started and maybe have struggled to grow with the game as it's gotten faster and more skillful, but Ali's just never missed a beat.
Yeah, and I think something you said before about, small changes to refresh the team is a really interesting point, especially when it comes to that midfield, because it's been a pretty consistent group for a long time now. And I suppose in terms of the veterans of the list, a lot of them are in that midfield with Ellie Anderson, Kathy Svark. Has there been any standout names in the preseason that have been sort of pushing into that midfield group from sort of the younger cohort in the list?
Well, they kind of, we obviously challenge everyone to give different positions a go. So we're rolling different people through all the time, and you can't go past the likes of Belle Dawes, though. She's a firecracker, and she's an incredible human being as well. But yeah, she's in flying form, I'll give you that.
Yeah, for sure. And I think one of the positions on the field that you'd be very familiar with is obviously the forward line. You've got yourself and Dakota Davidson up there who form a very formidable duo, but you've got some amazing smalls at your feet. Courtney Hodders, of course, a very exciting player. A former interviewee we had, Ellie Hampson as well. And Charlie Mullins is a player that we're big fans of here at the podcast. Can you give us a bit of insight into how they're tracking this preseason?
Just the same. Everyone's tracking really well. Like, I've got no secrets to tell. I think it's really important that we always maintain, especially at this period of time, what goes on inside the four walls stays inside the four walls. But they're quality people, quality talent, and quality athletes, and I can't wait to see what they're going to do this year.
Yeah, us too. And I guess the last player I want to bring up is Sinead Davison, who's come over the club from the Eagles. Unfortunately, had a bit of a wrist injury last season, so probably didn't quite get to see the best of her. Does she look like she's prepared for a big
She's my
season?
housemate.
There you go.
She's my housemate, and she's just a cracker, and she's so skillful, like you said, like coming over from West Coast, she brought skill, she brought decision making, and she brought class. And yeah, so unfortunate losing her early in last season to injuries. So it'll be really exciting to see what she can bring for us this year.
Yeah, absolutely. We were really devastated. She was a player that we were really excited to see last year. So hopefully she can have a good full season injury free. We'll probably just leave it there. But the question we do love to ask at the end of these interviews is who's been tearing up the track and looks set for a massive year in 2025?
I actually would love to give like a little shout out to Rara. Rania is her name. We call her Rara. She's just come leaps and bounds in her strength and her physicality and the way she plays around in the forward line. So I would love to give her a little shout out because she's definitely one to watch, I think.
Very good, Ryan Crozier. Yeah, that's a really interesting one, and we know that the Brisbane Lions are going to be right up the pointy end. So, Taylor Smith, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
So that one was an interesting chat, I got to say. Really good to be able to grab such a talented player and a really relevant AFLW player for an interview. So thank you very much for joining us there, Taylor Smith. My kind of takeaway from that was that it was a bit off to a bit of a rocky start when she couldn't say too much more about how the preseason was going. I was like, oh, that's normally one of the questions where people elaborate the most. But it makes sense. You know, Brisbane are an elite team. They've been an elite team for a while. Everyone's well media trained. They're not really going to be giving away their secrets. What were your key takeaways?
Oh, you've stolen mine, which was there's just so little to take from it. It was such a tough one. I was like, yeah, okay. We'd kind of been forewarned when Will had come out of the interview that, oh, he didn't get out a lot out of Taylor. And then I plugged in the interview to listen to and went, oh, wow. Okay, well, let's build our own fantasy analysis for this season then.
I mean, the one thing we did get out was a name at the end in Rania Crozier as a player to watch, which was good to hear. But yeah, other than that, not too much. So I guess a lot of our insights into the top five fantasy picks are coming from the recent match sims and pracky matches.
Yes, and that does lead me perfectly into my number one most fantasy relevant player. I am deviating. I know you just said it's from the pracky matches and match sims. The reason why I've got this player at number one is for what they did in the final series last year, and that is Jade Ellinger. So 824K defender. I see her as being someone who is top five defender this year. And that comes from the fact that in her last five games, she had four scores over 70 and included a high score of 84. Now, that also came with some center bounce attendances. And that was because in the final series, I think Brisbane had moved away from Courtney Hodder being their highest CBA speed player, potentially playing a defensive role, and moved that across to Jade Ellinger. So as much as she's, you know, got an average that looks a little bit down on that, it's the fact that she put together such a high average in her final five games that has me really intrigued.
She did make a feature in our top five defenders episode, coming in, I believe, at number four. So very wise pick here to put her as your number one. Her role that she had in the finals and the fantasy relevancy of that, is that, did you see what you wanted to see in the pracky games with her?
I saw it in fits and starts. Like, I saw a little bit of midfield time, but it was mainly just as a player rolling up off halfback. I didn't see the wing time that we had previously seen a lot of from Jade Ellinger. But it's one where I really would like to maybe rewatch her positioning at all the CBAs. But I did also feel like when she was across halfback, she was probably the most accumulative that I've seen her as a halfback in her career so far. Because that's kind of always been the thing with Jade Ellinger, is she's been a speed player and meters gained by running, not much of an accumulator. So I saw an improvement in that respect, but I didn't see the same CBAs.
It makes me wonder, even though she does have that 84 max, which is about 20 points above her average, which would be... Ooh. Oopsie daisies, I just whacked everything. It's all good, we're back. I do wonder though if she is going to be a slower start for fantasy scoring this season if we didn't see kind of exactly what we wanted to in the pracky match there. But I think it makes sense to put her as number one for Brisbane. Now, your number two though, I'm also quite keen on.
Yes, now this is one that is built off the practice match and it's Brianna Conan. Now, we don't have stats at time of recording, but we do know that she had over 10 tackles, was not playing as a defender anymore. She was playing as a midfielder. And this is a midfield role where Conan excelled, particularly at the back end of 2023. She had 120 points in the grand final with 50% CBAs, 10 tackles, 7 marks. She is eminently capable of racking up good midfield level scoring when she is a defender in the game. So I am extremely intrigued by the possibility that we are just going to have possibly 15 points of value on, so above 70 scoring for someone priced at 57.
Yeah, it's funny. It kind of depends on the player because looking at someone who's priced at 57 with an upside of 120, she's only gone over 100 once in her whole career, which was that 120. So that's her first lot of triple digits. And we're looking at that going, oh, there's so much potential. Like she's got all this headroom between 57 and 120. And I think it's very fair because of this kind of midfield change and what we saw from her in the bracky games. But with any other player, you'd be like, are they even going to get even to their triple digits again? But I think, yeah, the midfield role that we saw playing as a defensive mid, excellent if she can keep up those rotations, and then resting in defence for the intercepts, what we saw in the practice match as well. Like, just point racking up potential all throughout Bree Conan there. So I think that she could be a very good underpriced defender pick and someone that we hadn't really mentioned in the defender episode.
No, and we probably just didn't appreciate that she would go back to this midfield role.
Yeah.
She got a lot of chat from us. Well, she got a lot of discussion in the back end of season 8.
Yeah.
She was a midfielder in the game last year, so she didn't really warrant the conversation because, you know, it was going to be hard to see her becoming someone with 20, 30 points of value, which is what we typically look for at someone at around Bree Conan's price in the midfield. But she's shot back into relevancy just with that same midfield role that we really liked at the back end of 2023. So she had gone from someone who was basically off my radar to extremely possible in my side.
Extremely possible. I love that.
Look, I don't want to commit fully.
Well, moving to the other side of the ground.
You're right. I am moving to the other end of the ground, but just in fantasy. I'm moving to Charlotte Mullins, who is a forward this season. She is priced at her average of 50 or roundabouts. The reason I like her, though, is her kicking has meant that she's already been pegged to have a defensive and wing role this season. It was the wing role that Charlie Mullins got where she had a massive 104 when she played against Carlton in round 6 of last year. She then finished off the regular seasons with another 2 scores over 70. Charlie Mullins is someone that I didn't exactly see an extremely high accumulation role, but I do see the high scoring potential and the likelihood that she will be someone that Brisbane uses to try and move the ball because her kicking is pretty exceptional.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. I think that being priced at 55.4, we'd want to see at least 10, 15 points of upside there for her to be a starting side pick because that is kind of in the midfield madness range. But as Jono's mentioned multiple times, she's got star potential. And, you know, if she's being utilised for her kicks, I think we did see her playing off halfback in the Pracky game and kicking is great for fantasy scoring. So it's nice seeing someone with a max who's almost double what they're priced at. So, yeah, lots of potential there.
Yeah, and then I will just move straight into number 4 and she presents a very similar profile and that's Lily Postlethwaite, who is priced at 49.6, so that's 643K as a defender. It's just another player that's previously been a midfielder and a forward in past seasons, spent a little bit more time off halfback at the back end of last year. Doesn't have quite the same pedigree of high scoring that we've seen from any of one else that I've mentioned so far, who have all had those kind of high 90s or 100 plus scores. But this is someone who made an incredible effort to come back after having drafted in season 4, successive ACL injuries, took a little bit of time to make their way into the side at Brisbane consistently, but another player who is extremely clean ball user. I won't be shocked if she becomes a kick-in taker down the line, priced below 50, in a line that we are definitely struggling to find options that we are confident in defence. It's just a name I need to throw out there as possible value. It's not confident value, but it's enough for me to be interested to start the season.
Just a general question for you. We've gone from Jade Ellinger, who is a defender playing off halfback, Bree Conan, who's listed as a defender but playing in midfield, and then Charlie Mullins and Lily Postlethwaite, who listed as forward and defender, but we both see their fantasy potential coming from their role off halfback or in the back line. Is this too many defenders at Brisbane to be relevant? Like, are we looking for one or two to get the fantasy points away from another? Or could it be a world where they're all potential this year?
So I think there's a world where 3 are potential, but not 4. Because the other player we're not talking about is Nat Grider, who is someone who we have consistently gone, oh, will she? She just looks so clean and like someone who could really rack up points. I think that in the most likely realm of possibilities is Mullins is part wing, part halfback. Ellinger is part halfback, part midfield. I won't be shocked if Conan is midfield and then maybe a little bit of halfback, even forward at times, which he's done before. I think that they're not going to be all set in the one line and therefore cannibalizing. But I think it's going to be risky to pick all of them, and I won't be shocked if one doesn't really hit the heights that we're expecting.
Well, this is probably the furthest down the list that we've actually put a midfielder who's listed as a midfielder on our club reviews.
Yeah, well, but can you really judge me for it? She's someone who went at 100 across the entire season, including finals, and that's Ali Anderson. The only reason she's not higher is that I just don't know if she's got the next level, to be honest. I feel like that 161 that she had in round two against Melbourne, which equaled the disposals game record, disposals in a game record with Laura Gardner. I can't remember if she broke it, but it was at 43. She really didn't hit anything close to as high for the rest of the season. And I really feel like she is just about a 96 to 98. So there's just maybe not that value there to start the year. But let's say she does have a team that tags her. She got tagged against Collingwood last year. Mm. She got some attention against Geelong. She has a couple of those to start the year. She becomes extremely easy to bet on if she does drop in value, because I feel like she is one of the metronomes of the AFLW and AFLW fantasy over the last 2.5 years. So I'd be willing to set myself on just going, yep, I'll just pick Ali Anderson. I know exactly what I'm getting. It's probably not as, it's not the world's most exciting pick to start the year. I don't know if I would ever be doing it, but something that if ever she drops down in price, I think you just jump at it, because I really think she's going to give you something that a lot of other players don't do, which is just the ability to set your watch to how she's going to play and how she's going to score.
It makes sense to have her at number five, because we like to have the players that we think have 10, 15, 20 points of value on top of them as our fantasy picks. Ali Anderson just kind of falls into that consistency bucket. I think that she's someone that you wouldn't want to put in your starting squad, but if you have a look at her run and you don't see her being kind of tagged, if there's no big taggers in the upcoming sides, she could be an easy move to just keep into your side for the rest of the season. Yeah, we do see that her scoring can dip all the way down to 70s when her disposals do get stifled, but that 161 is just worth hoping for, because that is elite points per minute. That was only 86% time on ground and 2.45 points per minute, which is, I mean, Noffy's beaten that a handful of times last season, but that is up there as fantastic. So we'll be looking for that. And priced at 100, it's a nice round number. Chuck her in your team for the back half of the season and just let her sit there.
Pretty much. It's nothing sexy. It's nothing super exciting. It's just, it's just Ali Anderson. Exactly what you're getting.
Wow, I'm sure that's what she wants to be known by. It's nothing sexy. It's just Ali Anderson.
Oh, okay.
Okay, let's move right along.
Move right along.
So for my host special, I've gone with our interviewee, Taylor Smith. So she is a forward priced at 686K or averaging 53. I was kind of struggling with a really relevant fantasy pick for the host special, because we'd already made it down to Ali Anderson in the top five, who is just a consistent player. I don't think there was too much value left on the table at the rest of Brisbane. So the reason why I like Taylor Smith is that her fantasy scoring has been slowly increasing over the last 6 seasons, and she's still only 25. She's one of those players that really builds into Brisbane's elite stats of having so much experience with such a young team. So she's played 6 seasons there. Last season, we saw her max as a 89 from 3 goals, 14 kicks, 4 marks and 2 tackles, which is across the stats line. We love it. That's a really big score. And that is almost, 40-something, 30-something points above her current average. I can't do math this early in the morning on a Sunday, but lots of headroom there. I think that there is a bit of a caution in that we do see her take her foot off the pedal in some of the easier matchups. And if we think that Brisbane are going to be really dominant in this season, that there is room for her to go quite low. But luckily, the biggest dips of those we've seen have been in the finals, where she scored a 5 against Adelaide in 2004 and a 3 against Adelaide the year prior. So hopefully none of that makes its way into the home and away season. But with a longer season, there's, I guess, maybe some potential there. But yeah, she was side by side with Dakota Davidson last season, a real breakout in the Brisbane forward line. And I expect to see Brisbane kicking a lot more goals this season. So she's not someone that I would be, I think it'll be like a price matching consideration. If you've got a couple of spots left in your forward and you're looking for someone who's the perfect price that fits in, I think you could put in Taylor Smith as an option above someone that you maybe haven't heard so much about, but I don't think that she's got too much value on her.
No, and actually, interestingly enough, like as much as I agree that she's got the ceiling, the player that did really drop back was Dakota Davidson last year. And so I do wonder if they're the player that might get a boost this year in their scoring. But I don't hate the idea of really betting on someone like Smith to have a few pop scores at some point. I think that targeting particularly maybe that round three matchup against Carlton, they've also got a run through the year of Western Bulldogs, Richmond, Gold Coast, Port Adelaide. Those are the types of matchups that I'd be really looking for. I would be worried if we own her against North Melbourne, unless North Melbourne turned back into a pumpkin.
I don't think you want to be owning any forwards against North Melbourne.
I don't know if there's many people that you want to be owning against North Melbourne, full stop.
Yes, well, I guess to hear about how dominant North Melbourne are and the players that you might want to own from them as they obliterate all the other sides, you can stay tuned for our North Melbourne Club Review episode, which is coming up shortly as we get towards the pointy end. But I might leave it there for Brisbane for now. Thanks for listening. Feel free to check us out, Free Kick W Pod, on all of our socials, and we'll chat to you more later.
See ya.